What up, what up, what up? Good morning or whatever part of the day is you picked up on this podcast. So I decided to just blow the dust off of it and bring it back. So welcome back to the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. I know it's been quite some time since I've talked and had done a podcast, because I did this podcast every day for, I don't know, about 150 or 200 days. And I just got burnt out and said, fuck it. And I didn't do it anymore. I just set it down. And it's been so long since I've talked to everybody, and a lot has transpired. I'm guessing the last time I did this podcast was maybe in 2020, something like that. But we've gone through a lot since I've talked to everybody. We've gone through COVID, and I've gone through a lot. I left pharmacy since we talked on this podcast, and now I happen to be a full-time comedian, so I have a little bit more time now, and I am back, and the world seems to be on fire right now. It's just so much going on. I want to say, first and foremost, I just watched that Dave Chappelle Saturday Night Live monologue, and I mean, I just thought that shit was... it was just brilliant. It was incredible. I mean, it was like Dave went inside of a burning house. The house was on fire. I mean, burning house. And he stood in the middle of that burning house while it was up in flames and spoke truth to power and walked out unscathed. The way he was able to, like, walk that tightrope and kind of do that dance in regards to the Kanye West, Kyrie Irving situation, being able to do it, being able to get his point across and how he feel without being offensive, but then at the same time showing the irony, right? Like, on both sides. Like, just showing the irony and the new, like, I mean, it was just incredible to watch. So, salute to Dave. That shit was off the chain. Right now, I'm out in Arizona. Just wrapped up a show. Well, a week of shows. Not a week, but I've been here since Thursday. So I did a pharmaceutical convention for women of color in pharma. So basically, this consisted of a lot of sisters who are, you know, working in the pharmaceutical industry, you know, pretty much outside of retail. They're working for big time pharmaceutical companies and doing their thing. And shout out to my cousin, Charlotte, who is responsible for putting this thing together along with eight other ladies. And it's really grown. It's really grown, and I've had a great time. As a matter of fact, I'm doing this podcast right now in my room, in my hotel room, before I get ready to leave and fly back to Atlanta and have me a great, great time. I really had a good time. The energy was good. The vibes was good. It's always good performing in front of good black people, that, you know, but it can get kind of rough performing in front of niggas, so, but good black folks with a good head on their shoulder, I love it. I could tell you that right now. It's always a treat, you know, to deal with people that want to think. They don't want to hear just mindless chatter or mindless comedy. They want to dig in and eat a steak and not eat just nasty comedy food. They want to feel something. They want to know something. They want to see a perspective. They want to do what they do. So, shout out to the WOSUP organization for having me this weekend. It was nothing short of amazing. So much has gone on, man, since I left this podcast. What else? The young brother Takeoff was murdered. Young brother Takeoff, the rapper Takeoff. And what's crazy is we have literally, like, lost a rapper every month, right? It's literally like every month we've lost a rapper due to us killing each other. And I have to speak on that because a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. And anytime I bring it up, I'm often looked at as some type of coon for stating the fucking obvious of, yeah, you know, there is police brutality and things of that nature, but, I mean, let's come on. If I walk into a house and I see 6,000 dead bodies to my right and 2 bodies to my left, what am I paying more attention to, the right or the left? So I just think we have a big, big problem on our hands in regards to our community. And a lot of times whenever this topic is brought up, it's like, you can't speak on that because that's like proximity crime. All races kill, right? But it's like, come on, like, our shit is absurd. You know what I mean? Like, this shit don't even make sense. There is no genre. There is no other genre of music where you had this many people dying and just killing each other off. You don't see that shit in country, western, blues, jazz. None of that shit. It's just with us. And the outrage is typically minimal. And that's the most sickening part to me. Because the outrage is minimal. It's minimal outrage. Nobody is mad. No, the killer hasn't been brought to justice, even though they know who this killer is. I mean, they pretty much did the whole crime on, everybody was on Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, you know, and this child lost his life. And the killer is still out there because people want to abide by some fuck-ass G-code or some shit, which to me, this whole G-code and wanting all black people to just march to the beat of that drum, like, right, just me growing up in the south side of Chicago, just being a black male, even though I'm not affiliated with street life or being a thug ass nigga, for whatever reason, I must belong to the streets because I'm black, and we don't tell on these niggas. Well, they don't, but I do. I tell them nigga fast. I don't have a problem doing it. I don't have a problem prosecuting. You know, you gonna treat me how you will treat the white man, nigga. I'm not the one. I'm not the one, and I like to let it be known. And a lot of people can feel how they feel. Man, that's a bitch ass nigga. Yes, I am. Yes, the fuck I am. And hey, tough guy, if you so motherfucking tough, you shouldn't be worried about if I call the police. You should kick they goddamn ass when they pull up. Beat they fucking ass and go to the jail, nigga, and beat the judge. Beat all them motherfuckers up. That, you know, with your tough street ass. Don't worry about what I'm doing. It ain't nothing fair in war. That's another thing, too. It's nothing fair in war. But we gotta get out of that fucking mindset, man. Gotta get out of that shit. And those killers, whoever killed Takeoff, they really need to be brought to justice. Like, ASAP. And then it seems like they're just being protected. Which is sickening to me. That child shouldn't have lost his life. And I was just in such a rage when that happened, and I just tweeted this long, long message. And once again, it falls on deaf ears because, you know, unfortunately for Takeoff, unfortunately, he lost his life to a nigga and not a white man. Because if it was a white man or a cop or some shit like that, niggas would have set Houston on fire. Would have set it on fire. And I know somebody's listening to this podcast would say, well, that's different because that's the police and they are paid to protect and serve. And that's the only time I'm going to pick up my picket sign is when another race kills us because I don't think we're capable of not killing each other. That is what I hear when niggas talk like. I'm like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about? We have to shun that shit. Like, that shit is not cool, especially now. You know, I'm getting older. I have a black son. You know, I don't want him to fall victim to some nigga shooting him. And unfortunately, statistically speaking, there's a higher than likely chance he will die by the hands of a young man that looks like him. even if he's not involved. Let that shit sink in. Even if he's not in the streets. If it's a stray bullet or just some gangbanging this thing or whatever. So I speak on these topics only to raise our consciousness and raise our awareness so that we're not identifying so much with our subculture. Right? Because to identify with this sickness subculture is like pathetic. You know, to identify with the lowest common denominator of our culture is pathetic. I never hear Italian children talking about their Gambino or they fucking in the mob. I don't hear that shit. And I don't see Italian people holding that shit up as a badge of honor. You know, I don't hear, like, for instance, one of the biggest podcasts in the world is Joe Rogan, who is Italian. I don't hear Rogan bragging on the Gambinos or, you know, like, flexing any type of muscle of him being affiliated with the mafia, anything like that. So that's why I believe you need to let it go. You need to let it go. Oh, boy. So I was at the bar yesterday, and I had the most... First of all, I need to talk about when I have a conversation or discussion with people. Now, I'm a man who believes that he knows nothing. I know nothing. I just want to learn. So when you're talking to me and you're telling me something, I'm going to, like, verify your facts in a Google. I'm going to Google. As I'm sitting down in the conversation, I'm going to Google you. So I'm having a conversation with this guy at the bar, and he's telling me that he builds old schools or whatever. Like, he was showing me all these old school cars. Now, he was telling me he builds cars, but I think he does construction or some shit like that. And you tell him about the V8 engines, this, that, whatever. So I told the guy, I said, listen, I drive a Tesla. I mean, that's cool, you know, with the motor, but I drive a Tesla. He go, oh yeah, did you know that if you hook a alternator up to a Tesla, you can keep recharging the battery? I said, really? Interesting. So I Googled this. I Googled it. I'm sitting right by this guy. Google it. I Googled it. I said, can you hook alternator up to a Tesla? And the answer comes back is no, you cannot hook an alternator up to a Tesla because an alternator runs off a pulley through a mechanical belt, and the alternator is used to charge up the 12-volt battery in a car. Now, I Google this shit. I look it up, and I show this man. I say, no, you can't do that. I mean, it says it's right here. It's a fact. And this nigga denied Google. He said, no, that's wrong. And I'm staring at him like, oh, wow. So all of the millions of data, the billions of data that's been supplied, we look at on the Tesla site. We look at what engineers are talking about this. But they have it wrong, and you are right. Wow. And I want to say, you must be the most interested nigga on Earth.
So, no, I'm telling you, you can do it. You can do it, but I'm running.
At first, he was a construction worker. Then he tell me he runs farming equipment that is self-sustaining, where they use an alternator for this farm equipment to keep going around. He couldn't give me the brand or nothing. I mean, I don't understand why this nigga wanted to just sit up and just talk to hear himself talk. And that's what pisses me off sometimes. And I often turn into my father in these moments. Because now I just think he's talking through your ass. And, you know, I want to avoid any type of conflict or getting in the fight. So then all I can do is digress. Not to even say that a fight is my intention, but it's just so hard for me to disguise my inner asshole when this guy is just clueless. So we did more research in regards to a Tesla being able to be operated with a alternator. And so they came up with some type of math equation talking about the kilowatts or some shit that the alternator would have to put out. So they were saying essentially that it would take somewhere around 138 alternators to run a Tesla. But then it still couldn't run it because you don't have anything mechanical that's turning the alternator over. I mean, this guy, I was like, dude, I got to get the hell up out of here. He was one of them big Q-Dog niggas. Shout out to all my Q-Dog homies, but he was one of them big Q-Dog motherfuckers with the all that Q shit on and just talking, man. I said, man, I got to go. So I left, and I was on my way to pick me up some treats from a place called Med Men. And I'm standing out there waiting for my Uber to come. And I see the same guy from the bar. And he was getting in the car. So he sees me, he comes and says, "Hey, man, I'm going to a car show right now. Yeah, they got food and liquor and everything." And I'm thinking to myself, is this nigga asking me on a date right now? And I just looked at him like, that's cool. But I'm not going nowhere with you, nigga. The fuck? What do I look like right now? So that was my day. It was rather interesting, I must say. I want to see if I can Google. Am I still on here? Let me make sure I'm still on here. Oh, good. I'm still on here, so that's perfect. So now I can talk about stuff while I kind of look on the phone. I'm wondering where does Kanye go from here, right? I do believe that he wanted to get out of those deals with Adidas. He wanted to get out of the deal with, Gap. I do believe he wanted to terminate those contracts. But where does he go from here? I believe that he does have a very strong will and he can will himself back. Like, you know, and I think he'll probably go just 100% independent. I mean, because I'm looking at the shoe designs or whatever. I'm pretty sure he knows he could probably go to China and rent out a warehouse and get somebody to design the prototype and make it happen. I'm thinking this could be very, very pivotal in breaking the chains of corporations just running like footwear, fashion. I think this might put a dent in it when this happens. Because I don't know. I mean, Adidas is saying they're going to release his sneaker without him. Which is fucked up. It seems to me, if you're going to let Kanye go, you need to let him go as well as all his prototypes, the designs, all that shit needs to go. If you're going to part ways, you should part ways. But when you look at it from a business perspective, Adidas had nothing before Kanye came over there. I mean, all they pretty much had was shell toes, man. And them shits were becoming like people's buying shell toes just as a costume or some shit, like on some Run DMC shit, but he really revitalized that company. What he said was fucked up, it probably hurt people or whatever, but this is fact of him revitalizing that company. So we will see. We're going to see what's going to happen. This has been so great to sit here and talk to you guys You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. Now, I don't claim to be like a nationalist or anything like that when it comes to America. I don't think that America is a perfect place. You know, America's definitely flawed. But what I was trying to tell him was, out of all of the other places on Earth, right, this seems to be like a better alternative. And I'm not saying this is the best place. And he told me that Dubai was a great place, the United Arab Emirates. And Dubai is beautiful. Abu Dhabi, you know, you see people with the pictures, the models, you see the sports cars. And so I did a deep dive. I did a little bit of digging because I wanted to see what was going on behind the scenes. What are the people that really work in Dubai? Because you got to have, you know, you got all these buildings, hotels, you got restaurants, and, you know, there are people behind the scenes that are working this. So after doing some research, I learned that in Dubai, most of the people, they get a lot of people like from India, these places to come there to work. And these people are literally making like $300 a month. They're not even allowed to live on the property. They get bussed out typically. Now this is what I saw on YouTube. So don't take my word 100%. So what I saw on YouTube is basically people working all day, all night, and they're getting bussed out like to the desert where they live in these small, very, very small tenements. And I guess they save that money to send back home. And the money comes out to about $300 US, which is, I don't know how many dinars, but it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. There's no, I don't think there's necessarily a middle class there. And typically, if you like a professional, your living expenses will take up about 70% of your income. Also, when you come from another country to work there, they take your passport. Do you hear me? They take your passport, and you also don't even get paid for the first 2 months. This is what's going on. This is what's going on in that country. And I want to reach out to my friends. Say, see, I knew it was something going on behind the scenes. And that's not to say that America is a perfect place, because by far it's not. But I do believe it's still one of the only places where you can go from zero to possibly a billionaire. You know, it might not be the fairest place, right? But I think it's the biggest place with the most opportunities at the moment. And also, in Dubai, they have like a huge sex trade going on out there. Like, you see these Instagram models and things that are riding horses and shit, and they typically by themselves over there. They're being flown out by very, very rich men who just pay them obscene amounts of money. They might make $30,000, $50,000 for the weekend, right? But they're being, the men are having sex with them are just doing like some disgusting shit, like shitting on their chest and that. I mean, they're being, like, disgusted. I guess it's like a power thing or something to, you know, just shit on them or something. Like, it's fucking crazy. And there are stories, and y'all could do a deep dive on this. Like, whoever listens to this, do that. Do the dark side of Dubai. Where they have, like, some of these girls who've gone over there and they've gotten this money, they've had to do some horrible shit to almost where they were paid, but shit, they had to go with get mental health counseling and shit. And some of them were suicidal. Some of these women are called porta potties, in which they want to come and pee on you, and they make you have sex with the dog. And it's ridiculous. And that's what is going on over there. So that is that. We're about 25 minutes in, you know, and this is pretty cool. So I guess I'm gonna wrap this up and come back tomorrow and talk some more. But yo, it's been real, man. I should have been doing this earlier this year. My shows are kind of winding down now. And also, too, I have a podcast that I'm doing with Special K. That'll be on a weekly basis. It's called Two Virgos and a Mic. So you can tune into that. That'll be digital as well as audio. This podcast here will just be me talking. There will never be any visual for this. It'll just be me talking and getting my word out. So I'm going to leave you on that note. This has been another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast, and I will talk to you tomorrow.